This is Areske Daoud of Mayor Risk LLC, and this is a security and stability review for Nigeria for the week ending 13th October 2019. The full report is available to clients either at nigeria-security.com or at mea-risk.com. Subscription information is also available on those websites. Now, for the period of 7 to 13 October 2019, there were 46 critical incidents in Nigeria, resulting in 114 casualties directly tied to these incidents. The full definition of critical incident is available upon request, but MAR Risk defines a critical incident as an event that has a destabilizing effect on a sub-region, a region, a locality, or a country. Therefore, such incident could have an adverse effect on local populations or individuals working or traveling to the region. The incidents are categorized and are rated based on the severity and potential impact. Now, for this week, the criminality category accounted for nearly one-third of the week's incident count, followed by nearly 31% for the combined terrorism and counterterrorism categories. These are two separate categories that we track in our database system, but for the simplicity of the interpretation in this podcast, we combine them in this brief review. The MAIR Risk Instability Index, which measures the extent of the instability of a country on a scale of 0.5 to 5, where 0.5 means the country or region are risk-free and 5 mean the region qualifies as a failed state. This index this week eased a bit from last week's 1.99 to this week's 1.8. Still, the country is facing multiple risk sources and is categorized as code orange, moderate risk zone. Now, looking at the MAIR Risk Critical Incidents map, this week's risk map showed a rather evenly distributed cluster of flashpoints in Nigeria, but each region has obviously a dominant type of risk that may not be the same elsewhere. For instance, in the Northeast, there is a heavy concentration of insurgency-related incidents, particularly in Borno State, but also in Yobe State, where we recorded a flurry of activities attributed to either Boko Haram or its rival, the Islamic State of West Africa, and obviously the military itself. In the Northwest, banditry remains active, including in the northernmost part of Sokoto State, where villages were attacked and their cattle stolen, down to the West Central State of Niger, where an armed gang raided several villages, resulting in mass exodus of the residents. Now, in the center of the country, we note this, that several communities have been terrorized by acts of kidnapping, including in Taraba to the east and even in the federal capital Abuja in the center. In Abuja, the kidnapping of 9 people on 7 October in the Kuji Area Council and subsequent abductions taking place during the week have prompted the security services to deploy more police and security forces. It remains to be seen how these deployments will play out going forward and what kind of an effective response or role they will have in reducing criminality. But the deployments are taking place as we speak. Judging by the resumption of bandit attacks in the Northwest, efforts by some state governments to negotiate a truce with bandits have not led to the expected outcome, and so the risk of mass banditry remains elevated. Now, staying in the center of the country, in the state of Bauchi, near the border with Gombe State, 38 people drowned after their boat capsized on the Kirfi River in Kirfi LGA. Only 2 people survived and others are still missing. On the public health front, more than 11,000 internally displaced people, refugees in central state of Benue, who are currently housed in 22 camps, are reportedly infected with malaria, diarrhea, and typhoid fever. The camps are located in seven LGAs that include those of Guma, Makurdi, Agatu, Guer West, Logo, and Kwande. The diseases appear to be spreading due to the rainy season and obviously poor conditions, living conditions in the camp. The refugees come from villages in the state that have been destroyed by armed gangs believed to have been herdsmen. In the southern states, there has been a hodgepodge of incidents that include flooding in Anambra, but also in Ondo, Osun, Nakiti states. More flooding is expected in regions that are located along key Nigerian rivers. There's also the usual infrastructure problems, including the collapse of another building in the Lekki area of Lagos. There were no casualties there, but substandard construction has led to a series of building collapses lately, many clearly resulting in fatalities. The southern regions are also prone to activities and incidents against oil industry interests. This week, a community in Delta State descended on an Ajip oil company site to protest environmental and job issues. This is as a report from state oil company NNPC, reporting attacks against pipelines doubled sequentially in the month of July 2019. Most of the pipeline targeted are naturally in the south, generally north of the oil hub of Port Harcourt. So in terms of specific summary and beyond a review of the risk map, we note that the Nigerian army arrested at least 27 suspected Biafra members this week. Those are members of the indigenous people, allegedly the members of the indigenous people of Biafra, or IPOB, while they were allegedly staging a protest. The suspects were handed over to the police authority in Umuahia. The arrests confirmed the continued tension between Nigeria and the Biafra movement. And just for transparency's sake, leaders of the Biafra movement said those people who were arrested are not member of the group. And in East Borno, near Lake Chad, two Chadian soldiers in a joint operation with Nigerian troops were killed in a gunfight with Boko Haram fighters in Arigambori village. Several insurgents were also killed as they were repelled by the military. In the same state, ISWAP, or the Islamic State of West Africa, raided Gajigana, killing at least seven people, including two soldiers. The counterinsurgency was also intense, so this is the military response. In a failed ambush against soldiers at Marari, this is near Monguno, also in Borno State, Boko Haram fighters were killed after they were overpowered by troops. One Nigerian soldier was killed and a Chadian officer wounded. This week also saw the Nigerian army announcing the arrest of 10 Boko Haram militants. Those militants were actually listed in its top wanted list, including Alhaji Bukar Modu, alias Modu China. Interesting name, but name is kind of tied to his expertise in installing anti-aircraft guns on pickup trucks. Anyway, those are individuals that were listed in the top 10 and have been arrested as a result. Now, the Nigerian army also announced it would start a nationwide, call it training exercise across six geopolitical zones in the country, with focus on the southern, north central, and part of the northwest of the country. These are regions, as I mentioned earlier, that have been really hot in terms of the security and the risk profile. The military's mission really is not necessarily just training. It's particularly to engage criminal gangs and bandits in those states, but ahead of the Christmas holiday or the year-end holiday. The operation starts from 1 November to the 23rd of December, just to ease the pressure and the tension as Nigerians head to the year-end holiday season. We've also noticed other security deployments were announced in many regions independently from this nationwide operation, including more police deployments in Abuja, to prevent worsening crimes in the federal capital. And remember, we've talked about those recent kidnappings that have really increased the level of panic in the capital. And so the police and the military are taking new initiatives to push for more troops and more agents on the ground. Also, we're noticing the same in Kogi State ahead of a governorship election slated for mid-November. Now, there has been growing pressure from Nigerian organizations to investigate the activities of some international NGOs operating in the restive Borno State. The call is in response to allegations that classified information had been shared by a non-governmental organization, humanitarian agencies, allegedly shared with Boko Haram and Islamic State. Foreign NGOs are alleged to have, and I'm quoting here, have given covert tactical support through financial means, logistics, supplies, and intelligence. These are really very serious allegations. Probably most of them really do not make sense, but it's clearly interesting to watch how these conclusions and allegations have been made by these groups, and we're going to be watching that going forward. On the economic front, the World Bank revised Nigeria's economic growth for 2019 from 2.1 to 2.0% due to a series of constraints on the economic front, weak macroeconomic profile and policy environment, and slow policy implementation. There's certainly other factors contributing to the drop in growth, including multiple exchange rates, foreign exchange restrictions, high inflation, low non-oil revenues, etc. Meanwhile, the Nigerian government has announced an increase in the value-added tax, the VAT tax. The rate now went from 5% to 7.5%. That's a pretty substantial jump. But the government has been certainly under heavy criticism and is currently trying to defend itself, insisting that the increase will not have certainly adverse effect on the poor. A quick thing on the security in Abuja. As I mentioned earlier, gunmen have kidnapped 9 people, including children, in the Kuje area council of Abuja. The news of the abduction has created a state of panic in the federal capital, where a manhunt is underway. The incident also prompted the Nigerian police, as I stated earlier, in collaboration with other security services, to launch a large-scale counter-crime campaign in Abuja, with the police asking Lagos residents to remain calm if they witness more security forces on the ground. For those of you who are traveling there, obviously, if you see a lot more police and military presence, that you will realize that's probably a response to an increase in kidnappings and attacks on people. Well, in terms of outlook, and that's sort of the last couple of minutes, on the political and the security fronts, generally the picture remains, what we see today is what you'll get tomorrow. The security picture remains fairly the same. In Algeria, Nigeria will remain confronted with major security flashpoints around the country. The insurgency in the northeast remains without any potential resolution in the foreseeable future, as the protagonists continue to harden their positions and resort to violence. What's really interesting is the competition between Boko Haram and ISWAP, in Borno in particular, but it could extend to other states. But for now, it's limited to Borno, but it's also limited to into Lake Chad, and to a certain extent the Sahel region. That competition is likely to escalate the level of violence in the region, and as I said, it could very much extend to further to Lake Chad and the Sahel countries. Both of these regions are already experiencing a great deal of terror activity. The other thing to watch is the talks between some northwestern states and bandits to produce a truce in the region appear to show their limits with new bandit attacks recorded this week. There has been talks, as I said, between bandits and states that have resulted in some sort of prisoner swaps. And the swaps is really states releasing bandits that are in their prisons for individuals and individuals that have been kidnapped by the bandits. Ironically, the name bandits is used a little bit loosely here, because part of the deal reached in the truce in a couple states is really the need for, or the requirement for, states to invest in roads, infrastructure, you know, economic development in the affected regions, which really says that perhaps these individuals may not be bandits, but much more like militants. If you recall, there have been militants in the southern parts of the country, in the oil-producing region of Niger Delta. They could have been called bandits, but they have largely been called militants, because their terrorizing work, or their sabotage work, has been essentially to push for more economic interests for the locals. So what's happening in the Northwest, in incidents where it is reported that the attackers are bandits, it could be a combination of both, where obviously when attacking villages, stealing cattle, and you know, kidnapping and killing people, that is certainly banditry, but there's also a subset of that group that may be more related to economic militancy than banditry per se. An important area to watch is the gubernatorial elections in Kogi State, scheduled for 16 November. There is concern that rival parties and politicians there have recruited thugs and gangs in a bid to disrupt the election process of their rivals, and so we should anticipate heavy police deployment taking place ahead of the poll, and we should expect some level of violence. On the social and human side, the risk of flooding across several Nigerian regions remains very high, as a combination of heavy rains and water and poor water evacuation infrastructure resulting in major river overflows. Several communities are still facing dangerous floods, and despite authorities ordering evacuations, the difficulty of populations to access refugee camps makes it impossible for most to actually leave their homes. The heat and the untreated water from current rainfalls are a source of diseases in many regions. The reports of Benue refugee camps experiencing multiple diseases such as cholera is another indication of a public health system facing tremendous challenges. Finally, on the economic front, Nigerian labor received a boost on the implementation of the minimum wage issue, with the governor of Ekiti State announcing that he will roll out the minimum wage in his state this month. As you know, Nigeria has a new minimum wage of 30,000 naira a month, and it's been a very difficult for stakeholders to implement that law, because it really puts a lot of financial pressure on states, on businesses, and certainly on the federal government as well, to deliver. Ekiti State appears to be the first one to make such announcement. However, the federal government remains reluctant to endorse the implementation of the minimum wage, a position that has led unions to threaten to launch a strike in the coming weeks. Meanwhile, Nigeria is expected to experience a low economic growth, which could affect the country's revenue profile. To alleviate the lack of growth in revenue sources, Nigeria decided to increase the value-add tax, the VAT tax, which could affect consumer and business spending going forward and could harm the financial performance of many, many companies. And with this summary, thank you for listening. Until next week, goodbye.